everyone. So welcome back to another episode of the Hello Spring podcast. I hope you're all doing well because today is officially episode 8 and I'm so excited because in today's episode, I'll be interviewing one of my good friends, April, or you may know her as Miss Sim Reno or Miss Sim Reno on YouTube. And if you don't know who she is a content creator on YouTube and a recent gamer creator on the rise on YouTube, especially International Women's Day, who creates a variety of content, but mainly focuses a lot on the Sims franchise. She happens to be a fellow Pisces, and so she's definitely the real deal, and you're in for a real treat because I'm a Pisces, she's a Pisces, and I think you're all gonna get the true tea of what it's like being a Pisces. But all of her links will be down in the show notes below, but let's go ahead and hop into today's episode. So I honestly am quite excited because I asked you on stream, saying, yes, do you want to be on my podcast? Because I have social anxiety and I'm like, they're already in my stream. And then my friend, they're already here. Might as well ask them right then and there. It sounds like a proposal. Like, you know, those people who would like, who are very nervous and have like this big grand gesture and like, will you marry me? I'm like, and like, there are all these people around you. It's like, you just can't say no. You don't know what to say. I don't know.
No, I just wanted to, I wanted to make sure that I always have this thing. So I bump into I bump into a lot of people's streams because I'm just like, what are other people doing in the community? You know, mm-hmm. I'm just over here on YouTube too. So I feel like I want to kind of immerse myself with folks that are on Twitch a little bit more. Mm-mm. And I was in there and I also have social anxiety, but the way in which I present myself, people wouldn't guess that. I think. And so I'm in a stream and I'm just like, I'm just going to start talking. Like, I'm just going to start saying whatever. Like, what can happen? Nothing, really. Nothing's going to go wrong. So I just start bopping in there. And I was just like, I hope he didn't feel like pressured to do that or anything. I was just like, I just having a good time, just bopping into the stream, just saying, hey, just love supporting people. So I was just like, the ball's in his court. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if that was a spur of the moment or what, you know. I wanted to make sure. I always feel like when I jump into streams and everything, I get nervous because I know I have like a marginal presence, mm-hmm, in the community. So I don't want to like take away from others if I'm in a stream. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
It sounds weird, but I get nervous about it.
Oh, I know what you mean. 100%. That's why I get so nervous talking in anybody's chat, actually. Is it April or Miss Sim Reno? Which would you prefer?
Oh, you can use either.
Okay.
Doesn't matter to me. Whatever is more comfortable.
I realize when you hop into my stream, I say both at random times. I don't know.
That's what my friend Reese does as well. Oh, he does the same thing. That they like, everyone says both.
Yeah.
Or like they kind of swap them around. So it doesn't faze me.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say thank you again for, you know, saying yes to the podcast, even though I asked you on stream in front of these people. But, you know, I'm very excited to talk to you, honestly.
I am too. I'm so excited to be here. I really appreciate you reaching out and asking me to be on. I'm excited.
No problem. Ooh, I got a lot of questions I want to definitely ask you because I do this all the time with every single guest that I do where I talk to them for a little bit, even though I've known them for a while. I do this like big on research project and like I scroll through their Twitter because that's where the most history is at, just because I feel like Twitter is where we're more real and raw in ourselves. So like whatever I think sounds interesting that I want to talk about, I just slap it into the questions and that I have. Makes sense.
Yeah, you just pluck it out of there. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah. Someone said, like my friend Ocean, she said, I should be a reporter or like a journalist. I'm like, oh, are you sure?
And I'm like, I don't know about that. Like investigative journalism, right? A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, you know. Or like a therapist. A therapist. I'm like, I don't know about that. Because I say all the time on stream, like, I'm not your therapist. I'm here to like listen, but yeah, I can't give you like medical advice. Like, I'm not qualified for that. I don't want to go through that training.
It's a lot. That's a lot of years of school and a lot of hands-on experience for sure. It's nice to be someone's springboard a little bit, right? As a friend.
Yeah. But-
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's like, I don't need any more school. I've been through that. No more for me. No, thank you. So would you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? Like, who is April, Miss Simreno?
Oh, gosh, who am I? I am a 29-year-old, which I hesitated saying that because I just turned 29, which means I'm so much closer to 30 now. And that's like scary, isn't it? Is that not like a little bit of a scary thought?
It's normal. I just turned 25. So I had my quarter life crisis and all that stuff. So
yes, that is what I called it too. The quarter life crisis. It's a real thing.
It is. It's scary.
It is. So I'm 29. I'm going on 30 next year. And I am originally from New England.
Ooh.
And I have a bachelor's degree in communications and a master's degree in higher education administration. Ooh. And I work full time. And I also create content. And I am a happily married woman of how many months now? I got married in October. So what? November, December, January, February, March. It's March. So 5 months. So getting up to the half year mark.
Yay.
Thanks. And I'm a fur mom. I have a cat named Willow, and she's an adorable little like applehead Siamese. And that's all I can think of about myself.
That's really cool. Honestly, you are definitely a jack of all trades. I would say you have a bachelor's, a master's, you're married, you have a fur baby, you have a full-time job, you're doing all the things. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's when I kind of put it all out there, it seems like a lot, but you know what? It's all things. I think that what's important is if you really like what you do, it doesn't seem like too much.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, so that definitely helps. But yeah, that's me in kind of a nutshell. And I guess Miss Simreno too, you know, the other personality that I have, if we want to call it that. That is actually because when I was first doing Sims 4 content, or even trying to branch into the community a bit, is I was doing mm-hmm. renovations. And it sounds really funny now because I always say Miss Simreno. And when you say the name renovation, it's Reno. And most people are inclined to say Reno. And in my head, I'm like, well, it's Reno, but I'm actually wrong. Like, but we're just going to put that out there. I'm actually wrong.
Your whole channel's a lie now.
It's all a lie. It's all a facade. So that's the idea behind the name. And I don't know why I picked it. I wanted it to be something associated with The Sims. And I never mm-hmm. anticipated building. I was always just going to do renovations because I was convinced I couldn't build. So that I just stuck with it.
But isn't it technically like building if you're like renovating though?
I guess technically, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess it depends on like what you're doing with the reno though. That's, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I was making like houses. I was taking the ones from, I think I started in Willow Creek, and I was just stripping them of floor plans and creating new ones. And oh my gosh, my listings in the gallery, it was like a real estate listing. It was like, this lovely 2-bedroom home is just waiting for your Sims to move in.
Oh no, I like love that. I love that. Those are like always my favorite to look at. Like I did the same exact thing. I make sure to like list it as a real estate website or like a real estate thing, try and sell the house to people. And I love storytelling. So being able to kind of put a real life scenario in a home that I don't think would, you know, do the best for a sim to live in.
Yeah.
But I try to kind of make it sound real enough, have people kind of get a picture of what I'm like gathering in that moment.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to do. And I was just like, well, if people are interested in renovations and homes that can be personalized, this one's for you. Like my showmanship came out. I'm like, please take a look at this one.
Walk in the front door. Here we are in the foyer area. Oh. Next is the kitchen or the living room, a seating of six.
That is exactly the foyer. Oh my gosh. You just like transplanted right there. Like I was right there. I was ready. I was, I was in there. I was envisioning what you were saying. It could have been any style. That's it. That's what sells. That's it right there.
We could have been walking into an abandoned rundown home. And I said, here's the foyer area, a nice chandelier with two staircases and all that jazz.
And just ignore the creaking like ghosts in the back room. It's okay.
Yeah. It's just for decoration. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh my goodness. So what was your first impression of me?
Oh my gosh.
Because I always ask that because I'm like, I always get so nervous. I'm like, what did they think of me? Do they think I'm crazy or like what?
No, not at all. You know, it's so funny because I obviously consider myself a member of the community, but I don't really watch too many other creators. Like I try to pop in on streams now. I'm trying to kind of branch out a little bit, but in the beginning, I didn't know of anyone. So I think my first impression of you, I want to say it was around when The Sims Sparked was going on. I think that was it. And I can't deny it was saying that you were like the yellow kid of the internet or something. And I was like, yellow is my favorite color. So, okay, we're going to get along great. I want to know more about him. What does he do? It was that simple. I was like, he loves yellow. I'm going in. And I just thought that like the brand that you had created and just your personality, you're so sweet and you're so gently spoken and you're just so happy. You spark so much joy in everything that you do. So that was my first impression. I was introduced with The Sims Sparked. And then I kind of did what you did is I went and I was like, where is he? I need to go find everything that he's ever done. Like, I want to know anything about him. He seems wonderful. Please tell me more.
A lot of people found me through The Sims Sparked asking like, who are you? What do you do? And like, It was surreal because I didn't really know what to say. I'm like, I make YouTube videos and I play The Sims on Twitch and Twitter and that's all I do. Yep. I'm in school, but no longer in school now. Like at the time I was still going to like university, studying finals. Like at the time when we were filming like late 2019, I was in finals week. So that was fun.
Oh my gosh. That's so much to balance at once.
Yeah, I was physically and emotionally and mentally dying, but you know, I was going through the changes, trying to stay strong. But the first episode, I lost it, but it's fine. It's all good. It's all good.
No, but you're still thriving though. And you put yourself out there and you did something. Would you consider it that it was something that was out of your comfort zone at the time?
Oh, most definitely. I think all of us, I definitely want to have people on the podcast who were on the show too. But I think from my experience, what I could gather, because we all are pretty much similar, where it was out of our comfort zone. We didn't know what we were doing. None of us has been on a reality TV show with like cameras in front of our face a lot, 24/7 kind of that way. And filming us in every single like emotion where we have a control of like the editing and, you know, what's being seen, what's not being seen. And it was rather overwhelming, but it was definitely a fun experience to do, to kind of see what it was like, because you never know until you try.
That's so true. You never know until you try. That's what I try to tell myself a lot. And that's a really good point too. It's something I didn't really think of, is not having that control over the content that you're now a part of. And maybe as like the way I would think about it is as a content creator, that would make me just nervous, right? Because it's out of my comfort zone. It would be so unusual. It'd be totally flipped. But that's something really interesting to think about. I'm sure that was such a cool experience though. That's really neat.
Oh, it was being able to kind of have yourself within a video game, but in like for people to see like yourself, but also your game at the same time, was a surreal experience where I could tell stories and be able to kind of build on top of that and collaborate with other people that were like-minded. Like my team was, you know, Jen, who is Urban Sims, and then D Sims. And those two are hands down the best of the best. They know what they're doing. They're good friends of mine. And honestly, I'm just so happy that we all work together and the story that we created around like Tosh and, you know, all the other Sims we made.
Yeah. I hadn't even heard of D Sims. And I feel so bad saying that. I had not even heard of them, but I think I had seen a few things of Jen's and I was completely captured. I was taken away by her storytelling abilities. So I agree. That was just like a match made in heaven, all three of you as well, because it was beautiful.
Yeah, they're definitely a force to be reckoned with, honestly. Let's be real here.
Yes, I know. I agree wholeheartedly.
So I first discovered you, or my first impression basically of you is from Gamer on the Rise. And I was like, wait a minute, that name sounds familiar. But I'm like, wait, I get so excited when like simmers get highlighted by YouTube, because YouTube is just like a big platform and it's so many different people.
Right.
But when like I saw a Sims person, I'm like, wait a minute, I must follow them. I must see what they do. And you, my friend, are doing great. Like, honestly, your content's lovely, very comforting, very lighthearted. I love it. You're talented at building. Let's be real here. Very talented.
Thank you. that was a very surreal experience as well. That was so odd.
I would say, because I'm like, YouTube, that's the front page. Like when you think of like YouTube, or I think of Twitch, the front page, everyone sees everything.
Yeah.
And then YouTube, everyone sees everything. And I'm like, oh no, it could be really good or it could be really bad. Sometimes more good than bad. If you like, I don't know. It's just like, it's a weird experience, but a cool experience, I would say.
Yeah, it was, you know, and it was really funny because the way that happened, and now I don't exactly know how they go about that selection process. I know it's probably a level of analytics that they're looking at, right? But I got this email and it just said, hey, like, you're the next gaming creator on the rise. You're going to be featured for 24 hours on this page. Get ready. And I sat there and I said, this has to be a spam email. Like, I didn't know what it was. I had no idea. It wasn't from like a single person. It was just from, I think it was YouTube creators or something. And I'm like, oh no, I guess that's legitimate.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know what it is. And they didn't tell me when it was going to happen. They just said, you'll get an email on the day that it happens. And I was like, what do I have to prepare for? Like, I don't even know what this is. And then I got the email, I want to say maybe a day or two later.
Oh,
and it was
wow.
Like, congrats. You're trending. And I went on the YouTube page and I looked at the gaming tab, right? I think is what it is. And then I saw my videos and it was like two of my most recent apartments or something. And I was like, oh no, like why those videos? You know, like, oh, what is happening? Like, what is going on? And it was just this influx of traffic and it was a whirlwind. Like, it didn't feel real for a little while. And it was only a 24-hour period. So that whole day was just a blur.
Oh, I believe it. I think that I would say it's scary, like getting all that traffic. And even though it can be a good thing, it's like also like a bad thing because you never know what people are going to think. Especially like when I see on like the gaming tab or just any tab, like on the rise, I'm like, why pick those videos? They're like 2 months, 5 months old. I'm like,
yeah,
they haven't uploaded content. Like, because when I saw it, I'm like, 2 months ago, like, has she not uploaded anything recently? Like, I don't understand. So I think I was inclined to go check out your channel, like, even more. I'm like, oh, she uploaded like 5 days ago. That makes sense. Like, why pick those videos? But then again, I can kind of see it with like maybe what you said in the video or what kind of inclined people to watch it more at a certain point in the video. Because looking at the analytics of YouTube is absolutely scary and not fun.
Yes, but, I agree. Yep.
But like what the one thing I think I've learned is that people watch in like spurts. Like there is like a downcline and then there's like a jump increase at a certain point. And you're asking yourself why that point in the video that got the most highest like traffic in the view duration. It's like, oh, makes sense, I think, but I don't know. But it's definitely very weird in how they pick the videos, I guess, based on like, again, analytics and numbers and whatnot.
Yeah, whatever they were looking at, I genuinely don't even look at my analytics that much because like you said, they're not only scary. I almost want to expand upon it. It's not just scary, but it's also just, it can mess with your head so much too.
Oh, if you see 100%.
Fluctuations of things or whatever it is. And I know that we're probably going to go into detail about that too, but it's so scary. So I think that whole experience, people were kind of congratulating me and that was so kind. And I was so excited about this because I knew it was a big deal, but it was so unusual. Just the comments, the traffic, the questions. And I was just sitting there saying, I have no more information than any of you do. Like, I have no clue how this even happened, but it's exciting and I'll take it. It's wonderful. I'm glad. It was just so unusual.
I would think that because I always thought, oh, they would email you saying, hey, do you want to be on the Gamer on the Rise? Da, 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 da. We're going to have all these different things happening for 24 hours. I'm like, oh, I didn't know it. Like, it was just like, oh, you're going to be trending. Good luck. I'm like, oh, well, it's like they don't prepare you for it, but they prepare you for it. If you're like new to it or you like just wanting to know more information. Like, I feel like YouTube is like a robot, whereas like other websites that I know, they actually have human beings. Even though YouTube has human beings who like do those emails, I feel like they don't give you enough information. Like, I need to know what to know so I can like prepare myself, you know?
Yeah. And it's so interesting that you say that because on the flip side, for the International Women's Day feature, I was asked if I wanted to opt in. So I was basically offered to be a part of it because I was a gaming creator on the rise in November. Mm-hmm. And I had a choice if I wanted to be featured. And I just thought that was so interesting because I didn't really have the option for the first one. It was just like, this is happening. And then for the International Women's Day one, it was like, would you like to be a part of it? And I said yes. And we had the ability to actually reach out to a very specific person that outreached us in the first place. So I was able to ask questions, and they actually offered, now I don't know if it's like a third party that does it or if it's a new tool that they're kind of working through, mm-hmm. but it was offered that there would be kind of this comment filtering system to get rid of a lot of the spam comments that happen when things like that are posted, like certain trending topics or playlists or whatever. And I actually didn't opt into it just because I didn't know enough about it. And I was honestly just nervous. So I was like, no, it's fine. I'll just filter through them myself. It's okay. And I did, and it was okay. But it was just, it was such a different experience being asked if I wanted to actually be a part of this compared to the first one. And yeah, it was just such a different experience. And I think having that person, that contact to actually reach out to ask questions about it or feel a little bit more comfortable with it was just vastly different from the gaming creator on the rise. And to be fair, before I was on YouTube, I didn't even know about any of these things. I didn't know the gaming creator on the rise was a thing. I had no clue. I was totally ignorant to all of it. I had no idea what was going on.
I wouldn't know either. Like, I remember there's only been like two other people besides you. I know it was Eliandra was like the first one that I knew because she made like the friend's apartment and all that stuff. Way like a few years ago. And there was this one more like recent person, I cannot remember her name, but she made these Sim documentary videos and they're so great. And I was like, wow, blown out of the water with the quality and like the research and everything. But I'm like, interesting. That's very, very cool. And it's good to see like, you know, people in the simming community like getting recognition that they deserve, and you know, women creators and POC creators are definitely getting more like highlighted and featured and, you know, regular compensation for the work that they do, because this is hard work. It's definitely a lot.
It is. Yeah, it is a lot. And I think it was very interesting because the other women creators were, I think they were maybe one or two other Sims creators. I think there was someone who was featured for, I think, an Animal Crossing video. There was one that was I don't remember what the game was because it's just not my style of game. I think it was a first person shooter as well. So there was some diversity even in the games that these other women creators were playing, and that just kind of enhanced the feature for me. I was really excited to kind of be amongst them, and I went and checked out all of their channels. So I found new people to watch too, even people playing games I don't normally play. So it was exciting.
That's good. And I think it kind of, in my mind, it gets your foot in the door of like YouTube, of like them seeing you and like, you know, working with you and kind of understanding your channel more and how they can like help you in the long run. And I think back then when YouTube was a thing, because I remember they had like conventions, not conventions, but it was like a YouTube summit type of thing, and, you know, YouTube Rewind. It was like so different. And I think that honestly, it kind of gets your foot in the door. Once like YouTube sees you, like you're in there. That was my whole mentality of like YouTube for a long time. When YouTube sees you, you're in.
Yeah. Yeah, that recognition, it's so interesting because I'm sure, again, the analytics could tell us so much that we don't know even about our own channels, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's so interesting how things, they kind of almost come in waves. I don't know if you've noticed that too. These features that I was a part of, I think they both hindered and helped in interesting ways. I think it helped. The Gaming Creator on the Rise one actually helped more than the International Women's Day one, which it's all subjective, but I think for me, I actually generated more negative traffic with the International Women's Day one, which was sad to see. It was sad to see, you know, but it was just so interesting because they were like, get ready. It's going to be this big, big thing. And I was sitting there and not much really changed though. Do you know what I mean? It was, it's just very interesting because they're anticipating maybe this influx of, I don't know, engagement, subscribers, whatever the case is. And it was actually the complete opposite almost, I guess there's just no way to predict these kinds of things. I think that's why I stay away from the analytics, because they don't really tell me too much, because I just refuse to look at them. Like I just refuse to dig into them. But it's, yeah, I don't know. It was just such an interesting experience. It's not something I ever expected. And like I said, I was totally ignorant to it. Didn't even know what these things were until they happened. So I was just kind of watching it unfold, just trying to see what was going to happen next.
Yeah, because I think that with On the Rise, like we don't know what to expect. They don't know what to expect based on their numbers that they usually get in the past, but they don't know what to expect based on the new people that they put like on the front page or like their homepage of YouTube. They just kind of hope for the best and like, good luck, have fun. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess.
Thanks.
But like the analytics are so daunting because you don't know what to look for. And it's kind of hard to understand it if you don't understand it. And I know a little bit about it, but not to the extent of understand it fully. Like at the very first like home like page in the analytics, it shows like your views in the past 30 days. And then what is so annoying that I literally hate the most is that it's like it ranks your videos 1 out of 10. Like that's like the worst thing in the world. And I don't like it. And it's like, what do I have to do in order to get my videos like in the top 10 every single time? But it's like, I don't really know. And it kind of makes you feel like boxed in and you don't want to like make that content anymore because you're kind of burnt out of it. There's one video that's always number one, no matter what it is. It's the most popular video on my channel. It's a Sims 3 suburban family home that I made like back in 2017 and it still gets views. And like, I don't understand, but I do understand because one, it's a Sims 3 and not a lot of people like, you know, put it on YouTube because it's old and laggy.
Right.
And also like it's a family home, so it fits for like any family basically or any sim. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I don't understand why. Like I'm not that interesting when it comes to like me talking. Like I don't understand that mentality.
Yeah, that's what I experienced. I think it's actually flopped. Like I've noticed my two most popular videos and looking at it, one was due to I think the recent feature. It just kind of it catapulted in views. And I think it just surpassed the other one. But the first one was, I think, like a generations family home. So I know that that has a wide appeal for simmers and family game players and everything. And for some reason, it got picked up by the algorithm. I don't even know what happened. And it's now my most popular video, but it's so interesting because I look at the build now and I'm like, nope, I can do better. Do you know what I mean? I'm just sitting like, why did that one go and get catapulted into all these views or whatever. And yeah, it there's never really a rhyme or reason. And to your point too, about when a video maybe doesn't do as well, right? Mm-hmm. I recently did a different kind of video on my channel and I knew going into it, I was like, it might not generate as much traffic or interest as speed builds. Cause that's why people are on my channel, right? They're there for speed builds. Cause that's mainly what I do. So it makes sense. So in my head, I know it makes sense, but then YouTube is telling me people that usually watch your videos are less interested in this. And I'm like, oh, bummer.
Yeah.
Like I didn't know, you know, like I didn't already anticipate that, but just seeing it like written in front of me was just like, oh, well, that stinks.
It's kind of hard. I'm like, hey, what do you mean? Like I worked really hard on it and I had so much fun. And you tell me, oh, people don't like this video at all. I'm like, oh, well, I won't make it anymore. It's fine.
I can try anymore,
but it's whatever. But I saw the video. I didn't watch it yet, but I saw like what you were doing, like the ASMR for Brindlin Bay. I love that world, honestly.
Me too.
It's so calming. It's so peaceful. It reminds me of Martha's Vineyard. Mm-hmm. I've never been, but it's like the exact style, like Cape Cod, everything. Like that's what I live for. And so being able to experience that in a Sims game and like listen to the sounds around it is very calming and definitely kind of a breath of fresh air to like realize what's around you. Like, what are you listening to? How are you experiencing it? Like, how are your Sims like experiencing that as well? Because Sims tend to react on what's around them. And I think when they have a good surrounding, they tend to react better or worse. You never really know because Sims are unpredictable. I think that what you're doing experimenting is actually a good thing where you're testing out the water to see what works, what doesn't work, what works best for you. But I think at the end of the day, like as long as you are having fun, that's all that matters.
Exactly. And that's what I try to tell myself all the time. I'm sure we all try to tell ourselves that, right? Is as long as we're enjoying what we're making, then the rest will come or it won't, you know, whatever the case is, as long as we're having fun, then it doesn't really matter. And that was such a fun video to make. It was such a fun experience. And to your point, just trying to see what our Sims are experiencing, or really what's around us, and how alive the world can be. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes, you know, if I'm playing the game, if I'm up to like ultra 3 speed and I'm just zipping through the day, you know, I'm not really immersing myself with my Sims environment. I'm not really paying attention to the world around my Sim. And it's nice to just slow down and take it all in and kind of see what it has to offer. So it was a really fun video to put together because I found so many cool places and features that are in this background world that really just make it the beautiful world that it is. And I'm biased because Lyndleton Bay is quintessential New England and it's where I'm from and I love it. So it was my favorite place to be and I love that world, but it was really enjoyable. And I think despite the analytics surrounding a new video and, like you said, experimenting with something new, mm-hmm. I just loved the finished product and I just want to do it again.
Yeah, I say go for it, honestly. I know that Iron Seagull has been doing the same thing, or he made those ASMR videos. And I think they're kind of fun because they're different and you don't expect them. And they tend to get picked up after like a while longer, like maybe a year or two, or who knows? Because ASMR was a big trend many years ago, I think like 2 or 3 years ago. And I think it's now becoming more of a trend where people do it more and realizing that it's actually okay. And if you ever like do more, I'm down. Like, I'm down for more. Just saying.
I they're peaceful. Actually, I can't say they're peaceful to make. It's funny because it's like the total opposite to make it. But that's what makes it so much more rewarding when it's finally done. And you're like, wow, this is so peaceful. The process made me want to pull my hair out, but this is great.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah. Like, honestly, making videos is not easy. It's like, it looks peaceful, looks calming, great. No, it wasn't like that when I was filming it at all. It was just not lovely.
Exactly. Just pure chaos.
Yeah. Not great. But I wanted to ask you, like, what keeps you wanting to go back to like making YouTube videos, streaming, you know, making content and stuff? Like what keeps you going back? Because some people just tend to like go into the pain, like, I'm going to do all these things, but then they don't see the results, or like they are just kind of burnt out, or they're just wanting to take a step back and not do it anymore. Like, what makes you go back to it?
I think it's a combination of things. I think the first thing that came to mind right as you asked that question was really just the people that engage with my content, I'd say. Putting out a video and being like, you know what? This was like blood, sweat, and tears, right? It was hard mm-hmm. to make. This is one that I just want to post and I just want to walk away. I love it, but it was so frustrating maybe that I just want to walk away. And I hope people enjoy it, but I don't know if I'm ready to engage with it right now.
Yeah.
It's like putting it in timeout almost. But then when I come back and people are just like, wow, this is beautiful. Like, thank you for taking the time to share this. It's all worth it because I know that these are people that... Well, one, my community, and it sounds so funny to say that because I think I've maybe said that once or twice in my life, the little community that has kind of surrounded my channel and my content, they're just so lovely and they're so generous, patient, and kind. And we just always need more of that in the world. That's what I'm always trying to bring to the world as well. So just seeing that outpour of love is absolutely like changed my life in a way that I never really expected it to. And I think even though building or storytelling, anything that you're doing with, I think The Sims, it's all creative and that takes so much energy. I want to say it takes so much energy for me, but it's where I want to use that energy. So yeah. I have to kind of like, I deplete every now and then, you know, sometimes builder's block settles in or I don't know which direction to like take a story and you get frustrated, but you always want to come back because you're passionate about it and you love it so much. And it's so rewarding to share what you love with other people who love it, whether that's your content or really just the game. You know, these are people that really care about The Sims, really love The Sims. They love that game and that franchise. And I just love being able to share it with people that like it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. That's what brings me back is people enjoy it as much as I enjoy making it. And it's just such a fun place to be in. It's so odd. So many ups and downs, but far more positives than there are negatives always.
Oh yeah, definitely. I agree with you. Cause I feel like with the community, it's good to have that solid, like, quote unquote fan base. I hate that word. I hate the word fans.
I'm with you.
But I feel like if you have that solid like group of people that you know that can rely on, or you can look forward to seeing them, like saying, like they take the time out of their day to leave a comment. And it's so nice to see that saying that, thank you so much for making this video because I really had a hard day and you made my day just by listening to your voice and watching you build or whatever it is you're doing. And it's very comforting to know that people watch YouTube to escape reality and like listen to the YouTubers or the people who are making the videos. And it's just a breath of fresh air to know that there's good people in the world that are decently nice and leave good comments and that are nice in general, because people are not always nice. And sometimes people might have a bad day and leave a mean comment, but then later on regret it afterwards saying, I didn't really mean it, or it wasn't me. I was just having a rough day and I just needed to get my feelings out somewhere. But it's nice to know that there are a lot of people who leave very nice and comforting comments on YouTube, because YouTube's toxic.
It's a tough place to be. And I always try to be very, because people ask me this, like when I stream and things like that, you know, they'll ask me about what it's like to do this. Yeah. And more often than not, people are like, you know, how do you do this with a full-time job? And like I've said, it's all about a balance, I think, and mm-hmm. being passionate about what you do. But there's also something to be said for being on YouTube or Twitch. You know, these platforms are, you're just opening yourself up to everything, the good and the bad always, and trying to take that in stride. And some of us, I think, I won't necessarily say are better at it than others, but we all have our moments, right? We all have our moments where maybe we're having a bad day and someone leaves a comment where they're just like, I don't like where you put that bookcase. And I just like walk away for the day. I'm like, well, then you put the bookcase somewhere. And then you come back to it and you're just like, that's so silly. I was having a bad day. You know, I need to change my mindset. I need to shift my way of thinking. And when people take the time to just leave nice comments, I mean, I don't want it to be underrated. Like, that's so important that people are just like, you know what? I'm going to go out of my way. I'm going to watch this video and I'm going to encourage this person to keep doing what they're doing. I mean, that's like the utmost peak of kindness for me, because no one's obligated to do anything like that. So it blows my mind every single time I see nice comments rolling in on a video. I'm just like, this was worth it. Like, it was all worth it. I'm so happy that I could just even contribute a little tiny bit to someone maybe having a good day. That just makes me happy.
Yeah, it's very comforting. And I like it. It's definitely a good experience to have when making like content or live streaming on YouTube or Twitch. And honestly, I was so curious. I'm like, I used to stream on YouTube way back in the day of early YouTube. It was not what it's like today, because it's definitely a lot different to what I know. It's like, why did you pick YouTube over like Twitch or any other platform for like streaming wise?
If we're going to be real, one, I was a little lazy. We're just going to put that one out there.
Oh.
We're going to put that out there. I was a little lazy and I had been watching some people on Twitch, and I think, in all sincerity, it was a little overwhelming for me to kind of try to dive into Twitch. And like, I didn't understand what bits were or a hype train or all of the little kind of like sound effects, I think too, with, you know, like a follow or a sub and all of those just integrated things that make the experience very immersive and engaging. Mm-hmm. It was so overwhelming to me that I just didn't even try. I didn't even try to stream on Twitch. And I was thinking, well, if everyone's already on YouTube, well, I might as well just meet them where they're at. You know, they're already there.
Yeah.
Why not just try to use what YouTube has in place? And for me personally, it was just so much easier to use the YouTube streaming. I guess they call it the control room. That's what it's called. I think it's called like the control room. And yeah, it was so much easier for me to use, but it is very different. And I actually briefly talked about this in one of my more recent streams, because people were being so generous with my birthday having been last week.
Yeah.
And I was just blown away, because I think that it's just such a different environment. I feel like people don't necessarily go to YouTube for streams. And that's just my opinion. I have no idea. I don't go to YouTube for streams. I go to Twitch usually. So the fact that they're willing to just watch me on this platform that I'm more comfortable with, instead of maybe going to a platform that they're potentially more familiar with for this kind of content, meant a lot to me too. Might be reading into it, but yeah, it just seemed easier to meet people where they were at. And I wasn't trying to split my time between a bunch of different platforms too. It was really just, I want to stream because it's fun and I know YouTube, so I'm just going to kind of stick with it. And I haven't really looked into Twitch since.
Well, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't say it's lazy at all. I mean, like, whatever works for you works for you. I just knew for me that I wanted to like transition out some of like to somewhere different.
Yeah.
Because I think that with me, my brain and me being a Pisces and the mentality that I have of life, it's like, I need change. I need to go somewhere different and I need to not put my eggs in all like one, in one basket. Cause like YouTube back then was different than it is today. Yeah. Like it's I would say it's better now than it was before. I think at the time I'm like, I don't want to be somewhere where everyone knows me and it just felt awkward. So I'm like, I'm just going to go to a whole new platform and start from the very beginning with zero followers and just work my way up and see how it goes. But apparently people know who I was and like, oh, okay, that's fine. I don't care. I wasn't anticipating a lot of followers, a lot of views at the time. And I still don't. Like I expect one person, or actually I expect no one to show up, to be honest, to my streams. Like I think I'm just a weirdo, but I just want to have fun. I stream for fun. I don't do it really for the money or, you know, the recognition or the representation, really. I just do it to have fun. But things like that come into place when you work harder and you put in the time and the work and energy to like get to where you want to go. And I've definitely taken a lot more seriously over the time, but I still just stream for fun and I stream whatever I want. And that's what I like about you, where you have like a dedicated Sims channel, but you stream what you want. And like you stream like Harry Potter or like Phasmophobia or like other games. And like that's what's really cool. And I think at the end of the day, it's like your channel, you can do whatever you want. And as long as you are having fun, that's all that matters.
Yeah. And I actually, you know how hesitant I was to stream other games too on YouTube? Because it was kind of a catch 22 because I was thinking, well, this is where everyone does recognize me. So they're probably going to be more inclined to maybe catch a stream. But if it's not Sims, are they going to care? Are they going to show up?
Oh my gosh.
You know, like.
I feel you on that 100%. It's so scary.
It is. And the first game that I streamed was the old Harry Potter PC game. So if we're sitting there, it's just like, this is a game from 2001 and it may not spark nostalgia for everyone either. So I was like, this is already very niche. So I'm doing it to myself. It's very niche. It's not The Sims. And I'm wondering if people are even going to show up. So I think there's a reasonably small audience and I was so content. I was surprised that anyone even showed up in the first place. And then on the flip side, the first time I streamed Sims, I was very, very overwhelmed in the best way, but I was so overwhelmed. I think, I don't know, it was like times 10, times 20, the amount of people that I had in a Harry Potter stream. And I was like, I don't know how to do this. Like, how do people do this? This is so crazy. The chat's going crazy. And now I felt as though I felt the eyes on me, you know, and I kind of froze up a little bit after that first stream. I'm like, oh gosh, I don't want to like say something wrong. I don't want to be weird. I didn't even know what to do. And now I'm so much more comfortable, but it was like a night and day difference. And that fluctuation still happens. And at this point, I just ignore it. It, you know, it doesn't matter how many people are there as long as I'm having a good time. And that's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I feel you on that, because when you are used to making content based around one subject like The Sims and then you stream it, it's very scary because like I call them the Sim kids, because Sims, I feel like, has definitely changed over the years, where it was like literally adult 18 plus for like Sims 1, Sims 2, and then like 3 and 4, like young adult, teenager, kids base now, like a younger audience. And like, I think of like 5-year-olds or something like that. And Sims kids are scary sometimes. And then when you're like, they're all there in one place, even like in a stream, it's definitely a lot when the chat's going very fast and you just don't know what to do. And it's like all eyes are on you. And you're like, what do I do in this moment? Like, what do I say? What do I not say? What do I stream? What do I not stream? What do I show on camera? Do I show my face? Do I not show my face? Like, it's like a whole, like, where is this going type of way. And it's definitely scary. But, you know, I think the more you do it, the easier it gets, or more comfortable you are when doing it.
Yeah, no, it's gotten so much easier. And I think it's so much more fun now. But you know, it was one of those opportunities to step outside of my comfort zone. I think that's what being a content creator, which I also feel, I always feel so weird saying that. And I don't know why, because I just think of myself sitting in my house just playing games, you know? Yeah. So when I put those titles on myself, I feel so weird, but it's, I think one of the best things about being a content creator is stepping outside of your comfort zone and being okay with the unpredictable, like the unexpected, and kind of trying to find a way to be comfortable in that space. And streaming was just the next thing. I was like, I'm just going to try it. I might be very scared and anxious, but we're going to do it and we're going to have a lot of fun. And now it's super fun. It's like one of my favorite things to do.
Oh, that's good. Would you say that it's definitely like changed your life?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm a lot more, I say this hesitantly, but I think I'm a lot more confident now, I want to say. And I think showing a little bit more of my personality, because I think it's somewhat captured when I do speed builds and everything, but streaming, you get to really see my reactions in full time or in real time. And you really just get to see me playing the game like I do off camera.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's entertaining and it allows people to kind of get to know me a little bit more, which in turn makes me just feel a lot more comfortable chatting with everyone and really exploring the game together. So I'd say it definitely has changed my life in the sense that I feel a lot more confident in myself and a little less self-conscious.
I think that with streaming, like it's all real time. There's no editing you can do. And it's just like there in the moment. And I think that's that's the most scariest thing to realize. And like what people are like hesitant of doing because it's live. You can't really edit anything. And I think that's why people not a lot of people stream because of that. Or they just don't know what to like say or whether to have a camera or not. Like I tell a lot of people in my streams that you don't really need a camera. You don't really need the best microphone. You don't really need any of that. As long as you have a computer or something that you can stream from, you're good to go. I started with a laptop and I just worked my way up as I earned money in my jobs that I've had over the years. And to get a new computer that ran better and I could stream from. I don't have all the money in the world. I am not a rich person. People think I am, but I'm not. I'm not rich. I'm like middle class or like whatever. No, actually, my parents are middle class. I'm just poor.
Isn't that such a... I'm always shocked at how many people think that those that either create content or stream or both full time, it's not like this job where it's so lucrative. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how else to articulate it. It's a lot. It's very demanding. I mean, granted, I don't do it full time, so I can't speak from experience in that sense. But it is just very funny because, of course, I'm looking at my channel and how that does, and then thinking about folks who do stream or create content full time. And I'm just like, well, they must be comfortable, right? Like that's kind of the thought is they must be comfortable. But so many people think that everyone's mega ultra rich. And that is not the case. That is not the case at all.
No, no, no.
We do things incrementally as well, right? We get new equipment. We try to upgrade as we go. But
yeah,
we are just like everyone else, I guess. There's no other way to really say it.
Yeah, I think I think it also comes down to where, I don't know if you feel the same way or you think this way, but when it takes me a second to realize that they're real people, like celebrities, like the Kardashians or, you know, Elon Musk or whatever, like I realize that they're like, oh, they have a, like, oh, they're rich, they're celebrities, they can do whatever they want. But I'm like, in my mind, I took a step back to realize like, wait a minute, they're just real people who just make money from like the avenues of income that they have. And it's like, they're no different than we are. They just have more money.
Yeah.
They just make them the same or like we're all the same people. They have
additional resources, right? Like that's pretty much it. And I think that human element is so important in this space as well to remember.
Yeah.
When we're either watching other streamers or content creators, or if we're in that seat, and I don't know, it's very, very interesting. And I think sometimes it's tough for me to remember this about myself, or for maybe even some people that watch me is like, you know, I'm a person too. And I have bad days, right? We have really good days. We have really bad days. And sometimes if I'm streaming and I'm just like, hey guys, you know, it hasn't been a great day, or it's been a rough week, and I'm excited to just kind of unwind with you here. That kind of transparency and humanizing, I think, is so important in this space as well, because, you know, when you're watching pre-recorded things too on YouTube, someone had the opportunity to do that and make it the best that it is. And like you said, with streaming, it's in real time and things might not always go exactly the way you want them to, or you don't know what to say or whatever the case is. Yeah. Like, I've experienced tech issues while streaming and it's so frustrating, but you're trying not to act too frustrated because you don't want to like pass that energy on to other people. You want to try to be calm and cool and collected and just kind of play it off. But sometimes you just have those days where you're like, I'm going to be real human for a second with you. And I'm just going to say, I'm having a bad day. So I'm going to have a really good time streaming with you guys. It's going to make me really happy. And then it ends up being fantastic.
Yeah. Like, I'm not always happy. People think I'm always happy, but I'm not always happy. More times I'm happy, but there are days when I'm like, I don't feel the happiest. I don't really feel the most confident in myself, that yeah. I don't know what to do, but I just like put my feelings aside to just, you know, make other people happy sometimes. And when I stream, I just tell them, like, I'm not doing okay, but I'm here because I want to be here. And I love talking to you all, even though I feel bad.
Yes.
And I think that's what makes us human, where we can express how we're feeling and where we can able to say, it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to, you know, cry sometimes. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, people just want to see the real, honest self, because like, yeah, we're human. We're not robots. And then also the thing is, like, what people don't understand back in the day, ooh, sounds like a long time ago, but I think, people always thought that YouTubers were like robots because they expected us to pump out content every single day on like a daily basis, 24/7, where we didn't have a life. But in reality, we actually do. Like, there's people, real, honest, human, blood flowing people who have lives and can't really always make content that's, you know, what you like or what you two expect, because it's our channel. We can do whatever we want. But I think we have to do what makes us happy. And if we are not happy with the content that what we're making, then we're not going to do it anymore. Like, we can't please everyone. We're not for everyone. And I think that's why some YouTubers, like the OGs, I would say, have definitely changed a lot, like in a good mm-hmm. way.
Yeah.
Like, they went through
evolution.
Yeah. Like, they went through all that stuff because they were young and, you know, in high school and college and whatnot. But I think with YouTube, like you said, it made you more confident, and it's definitely made me a lot more confident. And like, the more that we've done it, it felt good to know that we've seen growth over time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is what's really cool about YouTube as well. When you're on it for some time, is you get to see that growth.
Yeah.
And not only in other creators, but you get to see it in yourself. If you kind of go back, which we can always be our own worst enemies, right? That's a given. And it's so funny because I went back, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, I was like bopping around in my Discord, and I was like, I don't know how this topic even came up, but I pulled up my very first speed build on YouTube.
Oh my.
Where I didn't do a voiceover, I didn't do anything. It was just music because I was so scared. I was convinced. I was like, I'm not going to do voiceovers. They can just watch it with music. It's fine. Like, I'll never do it. I'm not going to get a mic, nothing. This is how I'm going to do it permanently. I was convinced. Never going to change. And I tossed it in there, and I was like, wow, this is, at first I was like, this is really embarrassing. And then I looked back on it and I was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, even the way that I build has evolved and changed. And when I listened to my first voiceover, I was like, I don't know, the pitch of my voice was super high and I was talking like this, and I was very delicate and articulate. And now I'm just like, guys, I put a plant in that corner. Like, I've gotten so much more confident and relaxed and just grown as a person. And that's really cool to be able to see. I was inclined to kind of hide those videos after a while, but now I'm just like, no, go ahead and look, see where I started. Cause we all start somewhere and it's never perfect ever.
No. Like, the very first video I ever uploaded on like YouTube in general, because I've been on YouTube for nearly a decade. And
my gosh,
just making Sims content. Like, I had like Spring Sims is like my second channel, but I had another channel when I was like in high school where it was very dark and depressing, from like 2011 to like 2015. It's like 4 years of my life. And I made Sims content of like Sims 2, like Machinima short film stuff.
Oh my God, I love that.
So I made all those, and like, it was fun, but I realized that that was hard work. I couldn't do it anymore.
So oh my gosh.
I had to transition into like something else just because I'm like, I need a change of pace. I can't do it anymore. But my very first video I ever uploaded was a creative sim. There was no voiceover, there was music. It was the worst. I got copyrighted on it. So I had to go and do that a couple weeks ago and mute the entire video. So there's literally just silence.
No. Copyright strikes again.
Yeah, it's so weird. And like the whole like MCN and all that stuff was just insane. Luckily, MCNs are very selective now and you don't have to get into them anymore, because before, anyone could join an MCN and do all these things, but they really didn't do anything for you. So you were just there for like, because they would give you like free music, like Epidemic Sounds. You get that for free with your MCN. And of course, they take a percentage of what you make. But still, I'm like, geez Louise, it was just a weird time back then. I didn't like it. But I definitely, like, I could see like the growth in who I have become, where I was very shy. But like, the thing is, it was so weird because I had this idea that I had to be this person of like this high pitch, saturated, you know, bubbly person, even though I am bubbly in a way, but not really, but I'm more like, more calm and relaxed than I was before.
Yes.
I'm like, where did all this confidence come from? Like, I made my first face cam video without like thinking about the possibilities of what people would think. I'm like, I'm just going to post it. I'm
like, what do I care?
Where
right?
was this confidence? Yeah. And now I'm like, I'm self-conscious and I'm like, I don't want to show my face on camera. I don't want that. And I'm like, can I have that confidence that I had back in 2015? Like now, cause that will be lovely. Cause, I was doing
right things. Just have to channel it again. Just gotta find it. It's in there.
One of these days. And I think that's why I'm doing this podcast, just so I can talk to other people who could relate to me and also kind of just talk to people in general.
Yeah. Gosh, you mentioned your first face cam. I did my very first one last year, like just last year, and I filmed it on my iPhone. So it just goes to show you don't need the fancy equipment. You do whatever you want to do and just put yourself out there.
Yeah, I looked at your channel. I went back and I was like, I think your first one that I saw was when you hit like 1,000 subscribers, I think.
That was it.
Oh, yeah. And look at you now. I'm almost at 30K. Look at that. Proud.
Oh, that's
very proud.
It's like horrifying. It sounds negative, but it's not. It's so horrifying in such a good way. It came out of nowhere. I don't know how it happened, and it's just been very humbling, I think. Like such a positive, humbling experience to see that. That's wild. I didn't even realize it until you said it. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's true. Wow, that's crazy.
Numbers are weird. I never look at my analytics after my stream. I don't really look at my analytics on YouTube. I don't have numbers on when I stream. Like, I don't know how many people are viewing my stream. I just assume like 5 people are there. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, nice. And I'm like, it's scary. That's why I always have a rule. Don't tell me how many people are here. Don't tell me your age. Like, actually, I literally force people, do not tell me your age on stream, because you got to be 13 years or older to be on Twitch. And if you're under that, I got to report you and ban you, because you can't be here. The crazy thing is, even though I'm like a family-friendly streamer and I don't really curse at all, even in real life, I don't. But it's like, I don't want you to experience what I experience at all online, because people are weird and people are very scary and they say the most craziest things. And I don't want to be responsible of, you know, you getting in trouble and having an angry email sent to me by a parent saying, why did you let your child watch this stream? Like, I have no control over what your child watches. But it's like, it's just definitely very weird. The internet is a very weird, scary place, but I think it's, you got to have that one place that you can trust to use in like moderation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, moderation is very important. And I think you just like tapped into something that I just experienced recently. So it's so, oh my God, I was like jumping, I was like bouncing in my seat as you were saying this, because I just experienced something like this, because I, you know, my channel is marked as not for kids. And like you said, you have to be 13 plus, and with having Discord too, because I know that you have a Discord server as well. And when people are transparent about their age, I feel so bad. Like, I feel guilty if they are under 13 and I have to take action on it. And I'm just like, it's not just for me, but it's for you. You know, this is really important that you're protected. And there's only so much that, like you said, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
If someone makes their age transparent. And I had a stream recently, and I have no qualms being like very upfront about this. So I curse a lot. I have the mouth of a sailor, and I don't know exactly where it came from. I think my mom swears a lot. My dad doesn't at all. So I fell somewhere in between as I've gotten older, and I swear a lot. And when I'm streaming, I'm much more myself, and I'm just much more relaxed. And sometimes it just comes out of me, right? It just happens. And I was streaming The Sims, and I dropped a few F-bombs. We're going to be real here. I dropped a few F-bombs, and someone brought it to my attention that, you know, you have to be mindful of your younger viewers. And I really sat on it for a while because I was thinking, well, if they're 13 plus and they're being allowed to browse these channels and everything, there is only so much accountability I have as a creator. But then I was thinking, but yeah, I have control over that, right? I have control over what I say and what I do, but it's kind of a tough spot to be in, I think, at times as well. And when I said that I had to potentially make some streams 18 plus, depending on the game. So like Little Nightmares, for example, I'm not even sure what it's rated, but
I have no idea.
It scares me. Like, let's just be real. It's scary. And some words escape me that I can't control. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, same with Phasmophobia. And I'm considering making these 18 plus. And some people were, I felt so bad. They were kind of sounding off on a community post. They're like, I'm only 12. I'm only 10. I can't watch this. And I was like, oh no, I can't even, like, I have to block you. I have to.
Yeah.
Whatever the term is. I feel so bad.
But the thing is, I think with like YouTube comments, like, I mean, at the end of the day, like I don't mind them. Like if they say they're like, they're 5 or like 12 or whatever in YouTube comments, I don't care. Yeah. I mean, I could delete it, but I sometimes don't, because like they don't really hear what I'm saying. Right. But I think with live, it's even more scarier because it's like,
yes,
it's live real time. You can't really edit anything out, but it's definitely a rule that people have to set in place. And like, also I think with the, it's hard to know that like we're all grown adults at this point. Like I think every YouTuber at this point is a grown adult.
Right.
And it's hard to like kind of realize like, wait a minute, I forget that I have a younger audience, but at the end of the day, I can control what I say. But it's like, if I'm not really myself, then like, what's the point, you know?
Yeah, that was kind of the dilemma I think I was having. And it sounds so silly when I say it out loud that I'm debating. I'm like, well, can I be myself without swearing? Yes, I totally can. You know, it's not a necessity.
Like, no.
But it was still kind of just, it was a period for me. I think it was a learning opportunity and a growth opportunity for me as like a person and as a creator as well, because I'm also not used to being in a space like this. So I think for me, it was just, okay, reflect on it and kind of think about it. Like what do you have control over and what is comfortable for you as a person, but also as a creator? So you're not splitting the two, because that, I think that was my thing, is I never wanted to split myself as a creator and just like who I am as a person. I wanted them to be very much aligned with one another, mm-hmm. because I knew that it would take so much energy if I was trying to put up a personality, I guess. Does that make sense? Like it would be a facade, but just an adjusted personality. And I was like, no, I'm just going to be myself. It is what it is. But it did make me step back and kind of really consider that. So it's always learning something new. And I think that that's wonderful in and of itself.
I sometimes felt that I was playing a character for so long. And I'm like, even though that character was me, and it was just more of an extra part of me where I was absolutely insane, because I realized I was screaming in my videos and my voice was going up like 5 different octaves. And like, why am I yelling? Like, who even watches this video? I don't understand what I'm saying. And I'm just, it was definitely weird. My voice has definitely changed a lot over the years. But I'm glad it did, because it was annoying back then.
I mean, I'm glad I got rid of, I call it my phone voice. I used to have a job where I was on the phone all the time, and I was just this very, like you said, it went up like an octave or two, something like that. And I was just present and articulate. And now I'm just like, well, here's my real voice. It's a little bit lower. It's not as high pitched. And this is actually the way I talk when I feel like I'm not reading off a script for a speed build. I'm just talking about what I'm seeing and what my thoughts were. And
yeah,
I'm glad that those changes have happened, because cringeworthy. It's a little cringeworthy for me to listen back to some of my earlier stuff.
Yeah, like I can never, I don't like listening to my own voice at all, but I have to when I have to edit the video. Like LPs, yes. I've done them so many times. I'm like, I don't like listening to what I'm saying. I cut out literally every single breath. Like, I don't want any like gaps of air. Like, nope, cut that out, take it out. I don't want to hear it. It's basically, it's like, I don't breathe.
I know, right? Yeah, you're just like, well, I have to breathe. Do I cut this out or... like, how much am I going to chop this up? I think there was one recently. I did like a video at the end of the year just thanking everyone for just making it such a cool year. And my stomach was making crazy noises. And I'm like, you know what? I have tried to record this 5 times. This is staying in. Like, yeah, I'm not taking it out. I don't care. And I just laughed at myself. And I was like, it ruined everything. There it is. Like, I cut it in. I made it like almost a blooper within the video. I'm like, there you go. You got to see something behind the scenes. I'm a person. There's nothing I could do. It's there. I'm sorry.
Quality content.
That's what we call it. Quality content.
And I think also the more that we do it, I think the less we care, but I think it's like, we're just comfortable with our quirks and weirdness that we just kind of leave it in, you know?
Yeah, I think it adds to one's personality, I think, a little bit too. Kind of that glimpse behind the curtain, right? Of, yeah, this stuff happens. It does.
Yeah, it happens.
It's not always perfect.
No. So, I wanted to ask you another question.
Yeah.
So, how long have you been playing The Sims?
Since the very first game. That was, 2001?
2000.
2000. Oh my gosh, that seems like a very long time ago.
21 years.
Since 2000. How old was I? I was born in 1992, so I was 8 when I was playing it, and I didn't own it. My family friend had it. I think they were maybe a year or two older than me, and they had the very first game, and I remember watching them play it once. And this is so, it's so funny to me to remember, but the very first thing that caught my attention was the heart bed, The Sims 1.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what is that? And like the heart hot tub. And I was just like, how cute. It's a heart. You know, I'm 8. I don't know. I don't know anything.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what is this? You know, it probably wasn't the best way for me to be introduced to that game. But I was hooked because it was like a dollhouse. So I get to, you know, create a family and play around with them. And I was just addicted to it. I just loved it so much. And ever since then, like I had The Sims 2 and The Sims 3, and obviously now The Sims 4, but I was kind of in and out, I want to say, as they were being released, because I didn't follow them closely, but been playing it for 21 years, which that is also a little bit scary to say out loud. Yeah, I've been playing it for 21 years.
So have I. I've been playing it since I was 4, and like I didn't really understand what was going on at the time. Like I just played it. I was never allowed to play Hot Date. Thank God I was allowed to, because when I got the complete collection off of eBay like years ago, and I played it for my 22nd birthday, I think, at the time. And I lost my mind. Like, no wonder I wasn't allowed to play this game, because this game is wild. It's so adult-like. Like,
yes.
The bed and then the hot tub and then the strippers and like
strippers in the cages.
There was like, what? What's going on? Like, Will Wright, talented man, doing great things. But I'm like, why? Why, like, that one?
Why is it so crazy? Why is it so chaotic? And as a kid, that was the same thing with me. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what the bed did. I didn't know the function of these things. I didn't know what was going on. I was just having a blast. And yeah, revisiting it. Oh my gosh, when you say that, it's shocking, right?
Yeah.
It was like it was just like a little tap on the face. And I was like, oh my gosh, I used to play this as a kid. And I see why my mom didn't buy it for me as a kid. I did not own the game until The Sims 2. And now I see why she made that decision.
Mm-hmm. I think The Sims 2 enhanced it, because those cutscenes were a whole other thing.
Favorite part of the whole thing too was the cutscenes. I love those so much.
I think my favorite one was either the first kiss or the baby and the baby one, like the alien one and like the, you know, the regular one.
Same. Baby one was my favorite. That lives rent free in my head to this day. It just replays all the time. I loved the baby one. It made me make my Sims have all of the babies because I just wanted to see that cutscene all of the time.
But like, did you ever like panic and just like turn off your computer completely when the Woohoo cutscene came on? Because
I would like shield my own eyes.
Yes, every time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nope, too much. And then the music would play. I'm like, oh no, I can't listen. I can't watch. I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't want my parents to see that because that stuff was wild.
I remember turning down the volume and like looking behind my shoulder to make sure that my parents didn't hear it because I don't think they didn't look at the game before they got it for me. I think my dad got me The Sims 2 and like all the Sims games since, like Sims 2 and 3 at least. I think he got me both of those and I don't think he looked at them really before he gave them to me. So like I was turning down the volume being like, oh my gosh, I hope he doesn't know what's going on right now. He doesn't need to know, as if he doesn't know. But like I needed to turn it down. I'm like, oh, this is so embarrassing. I don't want anyone to hear this. And I would like shield my eyes and just wait for it to be over.
Yeah. And I think nowadays it's so weird. Us Simmers or Sim people, we're a very weird bunch because all I know is now we're like, so where's the next Woohoo spot that we're going to have? Like, is it going to be in a cave, in the snow, the leaf? Like, where's the next Woohoo spot? Like, we need to know these things. Like, we just want to have more Woohoo. Like,
oh. Yeah, like if we don't have a new Woohoo spot with a new pack, then what's the point?
Yeah, like Woohoo or a death. Either we want to have make life or kill a life. I'm like, well,
we have a complex of some kind. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but we do. Maybe it's because of just the ability to like set a fire in The Sims 1 and just, I don't know where it comes from. It's weird.
It's a very weird thing. I just know that all I knew, because I was 4 and I didn't understand life. So I thought babies came from kissing a lot. That was a lot. Yeah. I lost my baby after like 5 minutes because I was taking care of it. But all I know, I knew exactly where babies came from during The Sims 2. I did not need a health class. I just played The Sims for it.
That is, you are just spitting facts right now because that is also what I thought. After The Sims 1, I was like, oh my gosh, if I ever kiss a boy, there could be a baby. Like that was my thought as well. I was like, that's so scary. So as a little kid, I was like staying away from boys because you have no concept of how anything works ever.
Scooties, get them away. I don't want to see it. I want to hear
exactly. it. Exactly. Exactly. Oh, that's so funny. And then The Sims 2 just shattered that illusion completely. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I gotcha.
That makes sense. And then you were having all the babies. That's what I did.
Yep.
Exactly. Family game player right then and there. Yep. Oh my gosh.
That is where the family game player was born.
Yes. So what are your thoughts on bunk beds? Are you excited for it? Because by the time this episode comes out, we'll have bunk beds and maybe another pack. I don't know when. But I'm so excited for bunk beds.
I am thrilled for bunk beds because all I'm envisioning were the bunk beds from The Sims 3 and the lofted beds. I can't deny, and this is not a criticism, but I was just surprised. I was surprised because I thought it was a total missed opportunity to not have bunk beds with Discovery University because my experience in college was to have a lofted bed and my desk was underneath it. And it was just like quintessential college experience. And I was kind of disappointed that they were in a Discovery University, but I knew during that live stream, they were like, there's one more thing. I'm like, it's going to be babies or bunk beds. Like I knew it was going to be one of those things and it was bunk beds. And I like audibly screamed in my living room because I was watching it on my TV and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to go through all of the houses I've ever built and add bunk beds so the kids could stack their beds and they'll have so much more room for activities. Like my brain was just like firing off a million miles an hour. I was so excited for them.
Right. I was so pumped because either way, the community and I would have been reacting either way, free the babies or bunk beds, one of the two, or cars, but cars would probably never come. But I think that bunk beds, it's like, I am a family game player and being able to have like more room in the rooms that I'm building is better, especially if I have twins or one sim wanting to go to college. I can give them a loft bed and then put their desk under their bed as, like, you know, the true college experience, I would put it. And I thought it was a missed opportunity as well with Discovery University, and also, I guess, maybe tiny living and city living. Like, yeah. All three of those packs, I thought they were, like, a missed opportunity in a way. And, like, I want bunk beds so badly. Like, there's so many things you could do. But then I also think that the mechanics and the animations are completely different,
right,
between The Sims 3 and 4. And so, like, I had to think about them. Like, oh, it all makes sense. I don't know how it works. I just assume that it's easy, but it's not, probably. Ladder animation. But, like, I had a theory, like, they made ladders functional, yes, and working in island living. So yes, they must be working on bunk beds.
That is also the connection that I made. Like, when we got ladders, I'm like, well, it's game over now. You're definitely gonna do bunk beds, aren't you? I was so excited for them. And you know, I will say that I know there's, I don't know, can you call it controversy? Oh. There's just a lot of discussion about missed opportunities and things like that. And I try to just put it all in perspective as well. Mm-hmm. If you think about The Sims 4, this came out, almost 7 years ago, right?
Yeah.
This was 7 years ago, right?
2014?
Yeah. So the game is older. We'll say older. And just trying to think of can we say the game engine? I don't really know. Not very knowledgeable about this stuff, but they just made it on an older system, right? They made it on an older engine, older functionality, and they're trying to, the more content that you add to a game, the more things are going to break as well. And quality assurance is never foolproof ever, no matter what game you're making, doesn't matter. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, well, they have to go back and they have to look at how they're going to make this work with maybe what's already in the game, right? Some existing animations or functionality, but they also have to add new functionality. And if they're trying to go back to, like, I'm thinking like skeleton code, they're going way back.
Yeah.
It could take a little bit of time for them to really work it out and to make it the best that it can be as well. So I'm always on the side of, like, well, let's just put it in perspective. I'm just thrilled we're getting it. I'm so thrilled, and it's free. So I'm stoked.
Yeah. Look, to me, I don't really care what we get, to be honest. Like, I'm a diehard Sims fan, but I honestly really don't care what we get. The more content we get, the better the game, the better game it would be, depending on what item we get or whatever.
Right.
But I think that with The Sims 3, the way it was, like, they went from The Sims 2, which was like a closed off world, to a whole new engine of open world. Everything's happening all at once. And it was definitely a lot to manage all of that. And it's still, you know, still running. People still play it. The Sims team, I think they're still working on the 64-bit for Windows. Like, they recently just got the 64-bit for Mac where it runs better.
Yes.
But I think that, like you said, different game engine, different, like, mentality of creating things, different timeline. Actually, there is no timeline to The Sims 4 at all, because it cuts off from, like, The Sims 3. Storyline wise, like, there's the, you know, the OG families, like the Goth, the Landgrafs, you know, Darius and Calientes, but, like, there isn't really a specific storyline to them at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about it too. The jumps from The Sims 1 to The Sims 2, and then The Sims 2 to The Sims 3 were astronomical.
Yeah.
They were way before their time, I think. And when The Sims 4 was announced and the base game came out, I think there was a mix. I could probably go on about this forever, but there was kind of like a mixed review of, well, why were so many things kind of trimmed back, I think was the perception maybe. Mm-hmm. And now that we're, you know, almost 7 years into the game, everyone's like, well, we're finally getting the things that we had in The Sims 3 already. And it didn't take very long. And it's just, if you're constantly comparing it, I think, to the older iterations of the game as well, in my head, at least for me, I can't speak for everyone, you'll never be happy, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to be the same. They're going to try to do new things or enhance this aspect, but it might mean that something else is going to be trailing behind a little bit. So I'm with you. I'm thrilled for new content always, because it's just a game I love no matter what. I'm thrilled. I'm excited.
Me too. I do have a tendency of sometimes comparing The Sims 4 to The Sims 2, because in a way, they're, to me, similar. Mm-hmm. Like, they're both closed off. They have similar families. And it's like, some of it's the same, but not really all the same. But I don't know. It's definitely different. I do miss certain features here and there that we have in The Sims 2 that we don't have in The Sims 4. I prefer The Sims 2 babies over the burrito babies in The Sims 3 and 4. But it's just me.
I will die on that hill. That's the hill I'll die on. I would like enhanced babies, please.
Yes. But I think we have to give The Sims team credit, though, to, like, the fact that they made The Sims 3 the way it was funny, because it's all open world and everything's happening at once. But all I know, my Sims had scandals upon scandals upon scandals, and the entire town hated them. And it just made a weird controversy of, like, oh, you dated my sister's brother and you married him and had a kid with my other cousin from, like, 5 years ago. Oh, I don't like you anymore. You, it's like, even though you don't like me, we're family.
So it was a bit too, it might be a controversial thing for me to say. It was almost a little bit too immersive. Is that fair to kind of say? It was a little much. I think I liked the open world, but that wasn't one of the downfalls for me with The Sims 4.
I think I'm okay with The Sims 4. I think it was just the loading screens for me sometimes, but I got used to it. Mm-hmm. But if there was ever a way they could change it, I would prefer, like, open sub neighborhoods, like, not open neighborhood, but, like, sub-neighborhood, like, based on where your Sim lives, the entire area is open to you. Like, you know how, like, in Brindlin Bay, like, wherever you're at, it's pretty open to your Sim to, like, explore and do things. And I like that idea of the world that we have now. And it's so nice to see the expansion upon where it started and where it's at now.
Yeah, that I noticed that even with Brindleton Bay is, like, the perfect example, because I think that's one of the most detailed and immersive worlds that I've played in The Sims 4. And that's, of course, just my opinion. But even in comparing it to, say, like, Willow Creek, it is so much more fun to play in. Fun is subjective, but it's just so much more, like, immersive, and you can explore so many more things than you can in some of, like, the base game worlds, maybe.
Yeah.
So that's a really good point.
Yeah. The experience has definitely changed over time. I think the more added features that they added into the game over the years, like toddlers, pools, basements, ghosts, and, you know, everything else, I think it enhanced the way people play the game now than they did before. Because from the very beginning, we didn't have anything. We didn't have pools, ladders, toddlers. We had nothing. And it was kind of funny how when you age up your child, it went from a baby to, like, a full-grown child. They skipped the entire toddler stage. And I think for a long time, we were, like, thinking, where are the toddlers? And now that we don't like them anymore.
First thought was, like, where are the toddlers? I'm like, why is my baby now a child? I got transported back to The Sims 1.
Yeah.
When there were just no toddlers at all. And then your kid was just a perma kid, right? No teenagers, no nothing, no aging.
It was scary.
I think that was the key feature for me, was just a missing life stage that had been in almost all the other iterations of the game. And that was very unusual to see. So when toddlers were added to that free update, oh my gosh, I was screaming throughout my house.
So was I. I was at work.
Thrilled.
I was at work in a meeting. I had my phone on me, like, oh, gotta stay calm. I can't freak out. But I was so excited. I literally ran home. I don't know if I recorded a video about that or not, but all I know, I tweeted about it. And it was just lovely. Very lovely. I actually got an email.
Screaming at, like, my friends. I'm like, oh my gosh, they added toddlers into the game. And they're all just looking at me, you know, with the weird side eye, like, yay.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm like, no, you don't know how big this is. You have no idea.
Oh my gosh. I think I was definitely, like, excited about it. No one knew at the time I, like, played, well, they knew close, like, more. But I think that people didn't know I made, like, YouTube videos for the longest time because I never told anybody. But I think now they're more comfortable with the idea of saying, oh, I play Sims and make YouTube videos about it. So, you know, that's my job now. So, like, oh, cool. That's nice. Very nice to hear that.
Oh, gosh, that's so funny. Whenever I talk to someone about particular updates, like the toddler edition or pools or ladders or whatever, it's always, like, the same shared excitement. It just brings me so much joy.
Yeah, I agree. So I have one more question before we kind of do the rapid fire questions.
Okay.
But, you know, what is it like being a Pisces in the world of what it is now, or just in general? Because I'm a Pisces too, and I'm over here struggling. It's it's a great thing, but also a bad thing too.
That is exactly how I feel about it. I've always, now being a Pisces, I don't know, it's always been very interesting to me because I feel as though I am very creative. That's like the one of the main things. I'm also very sensitive.
Yeah.
I can come off like very strong and confident, but like I'm also just a sensitive little bean. Mm-hmm. And people can hurt my feelings so easily.
Yeah, same.
It's not their fault, but they can do it. Like it happens. I have like this mug that's like I'm cute and sensitive, but also fight me, and that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Like all the time. And I don't know, I think with being a content creator, it's very challenging. Mm-hmm. There's always that balance because I think I take things really personally sometimes, and I have to teach myself not to. I don't know if you experience the same thing, but I take things personally. If someone's not happy with something, I'm also like a people pleaser. So I'm trying to just make things they want.
Oh my God. This is so refreshing. Yes. Oh my gosh. For the longest time, I always thought I had to please people, and I still do. And it's all so aggravating. I hate it. I hate it so much.
It's like, it's the best and the worst trait I think that I possess, because I love going above and beyond for people. I love making people feel welcome and wanted and valued. And it just brings me so much joy. It makes me so happy to do that. And yet if it doesn't work, I'm like upset with myself. I'm like, I didn't do enough. Like I need to do more. There's something I didn't do. It has to be. Where in reality, it could just be that it didn't work. Like you're not going to click with everyone, you know? So it's really odd, I think, being a content creator and being like, I made this video, I'm really happy about it. I used all of my creative juices that I possess in every fiber of my being. And then someone's like, I don't like it.
Yeah. Like, oh.
And you're just like, okay.
Like, why?
You're like, okay, I guess my heart will just remain shattered on the floor and we'll leave it there until someone else likes it or something. Like,
yeah. I found an article about Pisces because I was like, I wonder what Pisces are like really like, and can I like relate to it? And it says Pisces are known for generally being more laid back and agreeable than their other water counterparts, which is kind of true, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're like more empathetic.
Oh my gosh. The empathy, it like hurts me. It hurts me sometimes. It really does.
I don't like it. Like there are like three positive traits, like creative, empathetic, and generous. And then there's like three negative ones, overly emotional, impressionable, and closed off. I'm like, why is that me? Like,
it feels like a personal attack.
Yeah. It's like the over emotionalist is causing them to be overly emotional and even moody. And then the impressionable is like they can often be overly trusting and easily swayed. And I don't like that because it's true.
It's like, true. Oh, that's so true. That hurts me. It's so true.
It's like I trust everyone until they do me wrong and I feel hurt afterwards. I'm like, why you do me dirty? Like, I don't understand what happened.
Oh my gosh, that is me. That is literally all I've experienced my entire life. Like that is what I do. I'm like, people are good. People are good. And I trust you. Like, why would you be either doing something nice or talk to me about this if we didn't trust each other? And I trust people. And then, like you said, it's when something doesn't go well or something doesn't go right or something is said. And I'm just like, oh, that wasn't cool. And then when you start reflecting on it, you're like, oh, maybe there were red flags that I blatantly ignored because I just love people. And that's what I do in a nutshell. That's very true. And then I feel like guilty and silly because I'm like, well, you should have known this happens to you. You do this.
Right. And like the other thing is like closed off. Like even though Pisces will spend a lot of time, a lot of effort taking care of people, they often have a hard time accepting help from others. Like, what? Like,
get out of my head.
It's like, why do I? Like, I feel like this every single day of my life. Like, I like going into the pain of like YouTube. I was like, I'm never going to hire an editor. I'm never going to do any of this. I'm never going to hire an editor for my podcast. I'm going to do all the work myself and that's it. But I've slowly realized that, you know, I need help and, you know, here and there, it's okay to ask for help, but I still have the mentality, like, I don't want help because I don't know how to ask for help or like how to like reach out to people.
Yes.
So I feel like I'm just going to sit here alone by myself and, you know, just wallow in my emotions.
I always preface, like, if I ask for help, I'm always just like, so I tried all of these things, this exhaustive list of things to accomplish whatever I'm trying to accomplish. And I'm coming to you because I'm desperate for help. And sometimes I have to think about it. And I could imagine that sometimes that comes off as you were my last resort. And that is not at all what I'm trying to say to people. I'm trying to essentially internalize the fact that I'm now swallowing my pride and trying to ask for help, which is so, so difficult for me. That is spot on to a T. It, like, my cheeks just flushed. Like, that's how, like, that it hit me to my core. That is so true.
It's definitely scary when, like, I don't really read into astrology a lot, but like when it's true, I'm like, why? Why is it true? Like, I don't like feeling this way at all.
It's not like, get out of my head. Get out of here. How did you know this?
It's like, what do you know? Do you live with me? Like, where'd you come from?
Oh my gosh. No, that's true. It is. Being a Pisces in the world can be, it is such a blessing and such a curse. Probably like that for every sign, right? But it's,
I think so.
The empathy.
Yeah. We're like the most creative, but most empathetic, but overly emotional sign of the other ones that we have, like there are. And it's scary. I'm like, why Pisces like this? Like, I don't understand. Like, why are we like this?
Why am I the way that I am? I say that at least once a day. Like, why are you the way that you are?
And that's why I took a personality test and it all makes sense. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. I understand now, but I don't like it.
Yep. I don't like it. I don't enjoy this. But also then there are days where I'm like, I am a Pisces, like, hear me roar, which makes no sense because it's a fish. But like, I am powerful and amazing just the way I am. There's nothing wrong with it. And then one day something happens and I'm like, this is why you're so overly emotional. Stop it. Stop. Everything's fine.
Exactly. I tell myself that all the time, like, you're fine. You're fine.
Yep.
You're completely fine. And then in reality, I actually am not, but I swallow my emotion. Like, I'm fine.
Yes.
But it's like that one gif of that dog where everything's set on fire. It's like, this is fine.
Oh my gosh, that's my go. It's my go-to when things are getting chaotic and someone's like, how are you? And I'm just like, I'm fine. Everything's fine. Everything's on fire, but it's okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
Because I know it's on fire and I'm aware, and that's what's important. And that's it.
Exactly.
Yep. That's it.
We're fine. We're good. Even though we're having a mental breakdown, we're fine.
Yep. Yep. That's pretty much sums it up.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Are you ready for some rapid fire questions?
I'm ready.
Okay. These might not be rapid fire because I have my brain. But anyway, so what's your favorite music group at this moment?
Hanson.
Interesting. What's your favorite game you've been playing at the moment?
Phasmophobia.
Okay. When you're not working, how do you like to spend your time?
In sweatpants, eating something unhealthy, watching Law & Order SVU.
Oh, I love that show. It's so good.
I'm on season 14 right now, and I know I have many seasons to go. So I'm living in a very nice space right now.
I'm currently watching Grey's Anatomy. I'm on almost season 13 out of 17 right now. Yeah. So knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Being a Pisces, I would say don't be so trusting of everyone. Really, it comes down to investing your time in the right people. And that's tough to, I think that's tough to determine when you are younger, because it's all, life is a learning experience, right?
Yeah.
You're growing all the time. But I think I would also add to that, don't be so hard on yourself if something doesn't work out the way that you thought it was going to, or if you invested any kind of emotion into something, it's not always personal.
That is very true. Mm-hmm. And one last one. How do you define success?
Ooh.
I know.
That's a really good one. I think success is entirely subjective. And I don't necessarily want to tie it to happiness, because you can absolutely be unhappy and successful.
That is true.
Or happy and not successful, right? Mm-hmm. I think for me, success is when you end each day being able to say, I tried my best.
Okay.
I think I like that's how I would kind of define it. Because at least if you're putting your best foot forward, whether it works out the way you want it to or not, that's success to me.
That's good. I like that. I agree with you 100%. That's definitely very true. As long as you try, that's all that matters.
Yeah. There's going to be ups and downs with everything. And if we always let, I love this concept of like success and failure, because without failure, there wouldn't be success. And exactly. Failure is always perceived as like this really negative thing that people experience. And it's not, it's a great learning opportunity. And without it, we wouldn't value our success as much. So That's kind of where that thought comes into play. You might have failed at something. It didn't turn out the way that you wanted it to, but in the end, if it's helping you work towards either something greater or trying it again or whatever the case is, then you have been successful.
Yep. 100% agree. So that being said, where can all the listeners find you on the internet, basically?
You can find me under the exact same social across everything, which I'm shocked I was able to do.
Lucky.
But it is Miss Simrino on, I think I'm on Twitter. I've got Instagram, YouTube. I have Twitch only for the purposes of following other people. So there isn't too much value there, but it is. And also on the gallery. That's it. That's the other one. The gallery ID is also Miss Simrino. Everything's the same.
Cool. That's nice. That's simple and easy, because I got to tell people the different like things that I have. Like, it's so annoying not having the same username across everything. But yeah. One day I will try my darn hardest to get those. But until then, I shall wait. But that's all good. But anyway, thank you again for being on my podcast. I had so much fun talking to you, honestly. It's been definitely a breath of fresh air, relaxing to be able to kind of relate and just talk, honestly.
Oh, I had so much fun. I'm so appreciative that you wanted to kind of sit down and chat. And I greatly enjoyed the conversation. And like you said, it's so nice to just sit down and talk about this stuff. I think it's needed in the work that we do, to just sit and talk about it openly and just kind of be ourselves and get to know other people in the community. So I had a blast, Stephen, and loved it.
Yeah, definitely. That's the whole idea of my podcast, where I could talk to people like honest and open. Like, there's no right or wrong answer. There's just ourselves. And that's how we're feeling in that moment. Because I think the idea is that people want to like listen or like see the people behind like the camera or behind the voice and kind of hear their thoughts in a chilled, relaxed environment where they can feel safe, you know?
Yeah. Safe spaces are, I think, at times hard to come by. So I appreciate that that's what you're trying to create with this and everything that you do. And if I can contribute to that in any way, I am happy to do so. So I'm so grateful that I was able to sit down with you today.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
So I hope you all enjoyed today's episode with Miss Simrino. I definitely sure did, because honestly, it's so reassuring and a breath of fresh air to understand what it's like being a YouTube content creator, especially the fact that she was a gamer creator on the rise. And as a viewer, it's so nice to know what it's like behind the scenes and how that all works and how did it become to be, especially the fact that she was also an international women's gamer creator on the rise as well. But it's definitely reassuring to know that there's another Pisces out there in the world that I could talk to today. And I want to thank April for that, because we are very empathetic, generous, overly emotional, impressionable, closed off, creative people. And it's kind of funny to think about that, because 2021 and 2020 was a lot to handle being a Pisces, let me tell you, crazy. But if you are a Pisces, or you're a YouTube content creator, or just a regular person dealing with everyday life, I think you can definitely relate to this episode, because honestly, we're just normal people and we have weird jobs, and that's okay. But anyway, hopefully you guys enjoyed today's episode as much as I did. Make sure you check out all the links down below to April's social media, but make sure you go ahead and follow and subscribe to me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And I will hear from you all next week.